Welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know magazine, the publication which celebrates women in business by giving them tremendous recognition, unrivaled respect, great opportunities, energetic encouragement, and a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Atlanta vascular surgeon Dr. Walaya Methodius Rayford about some of the most frequently asked questions regarding varicose veins. Our guest today is a native of Lawrenceburg, Indiana. She is a graduate of Indiana University School of Medicine. She did her general surgery residency at Atlanta Medical Center. Today, she is a vascular surgeon with Georgia Vascular Specialists. We are so honored to have on the phone a very passionate Atlanta vascular surgeon, Dr. Walaya Methodius Rayford. Welcome to Spark Plug Radio.
Thank you, Spark Plug. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic, and I'm trying to get better. How are you today, Dr. Methodius?
I'm great. Excited about today's topic. It's one of my favorite topics in vascular surgery.
All right. Well, let's get right into it because we know you are extremely busy. So what are varicose veins and who suffers from them?
Well, varicose veins are actually just normal veins of the vein anatomy. However, the venous system has been under so much pressure that they actually have begun to what we call enlarge and pop out. So basically, the person who's suffering from it, and in the U.S., it's generally more than about 22 million people at any point in time, and unfortunately, us women seem to be more affected than men, but men can be affected from this same sort of disease process. And what basically happens is the venous system gets pressurized from prolonged standing, wait period changes, having a blood clot in the leg. And so over time, veins, by them being very thin-walled structures, have nothing else they can do to withstand that pressure but become enlarged, and then they begin to pop to the surface. So the physical appearance that you see, those ugly bagworm-type structures, are basically what a varicose vein is. But everyone has them. It's just whether you physically can see them on the surface of the skin or not.
So what are some of the symptoms do varicose veins cause?
Well, it depends. For some people, you may not feel any symptoms at all, and so that's the earlier stages of what we call venous disease. You may just physically see them but not be suffering from any pain at all. However, when venous disease does begin to progress, it will expand. So patients now may begin to have leg swelling that never goes away, or sometimes will lighten up in the morning, but by the end of the day, it's now back to tired and achiness that they feel in their legs. Some people will have some numbness and tingling. It even progresses to the point to where at some point when they finally are sitting at a restful state, their legs just can't get comfortable. So we call that restless leg syndrome. It progresses even further to the point to where the skin now becomes very itchy and very flaky, and it almost appears like an eczema-type reaction on the skin. The skin can eventually then progress and begin to break down, and so you'll begin to get little sores or what we call ulcers. All of those last symptoms that we've described now put you in a different category, and that's what we call chronic venous insufficiency. And so at that point, you've developed into a whole different state, and so it's not just varicose veins we're treating at that point. Now we're treating a whole disease, different state of venous problems.
Wow. Well, what can be done to prevent varicose veins and their symptoms?
Well, it depends on how you actually developed it. So studies and research would say there's two different ways to think about it. There is a inheritance component to this. So if you have family members, grandma suffered from it, maybe mom suffered from it, dad can sometimes suffer from it. That's the inheritance component. And some people will say, you know, there's a 17% chance that if you have primary relatives that have varicose veins, you may be at risk for getting it. But most of us, and that's that 2 million people in the population that have that chronic venous insufficiency that we just talked about, that get this from an acquired state or something in the environment. So your occupation, where you stand a lot or you're in a prolonged position, whether it's sitting or standing. So our taxi and truck drivers who sit a lot, our beauticians who, thank God, stand behind the chair and do our hair, you know, for countless hours on end. Our surgeons who stand a lot are at risk because that's a long-standing downward position. Unfortunately, there is a gender component to this. As we talked about before, women tend to be at a higher risk than men. A lot of that is associated with us bearing children, so that's a lot of downward pressure that we suffer with that weight change. And then also weight shifts. So obesity tends to be at risk for this because it's a lot of extra weight that we put on the vein system. And so it causes a lot of extra pressure as well. And then there is an association with age. So older age just tends to add a lot of extra pressure over time. And then the veins are already weakened as it is. And so unfortunately the elderly population can suffer from this.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Willela Methodius-Rayford about some of the, matter of fact, we're talking about varicose veins. So, Dr. Methodius, tell us a little bit about compression stockings. How do they work for people with varicose veins?
So compression stockings are really meant to help us with this pressure gradient that we've been speaking of. We've been talking about the idea that it's downward pressure. And so at the point of standing, the maximal amount of pressure is generally at someone's ankle. So what compression stockings are trying to do is shift that compression gradient and move it back up. What's generally happening is at a normal portion or a normal person, when you're walking, your calf muscles are helping to squeeze all that fluid up and out of the vein. But when you get this varicose vein disease and this venous insufficiency, unfortunately, there's valves inside the vein that are no longer working very well. So even though you're walking and your muscles are pumping fine, if that valve's no longer working, it can't help to push that blood flow up and out of the vein like it used to. So they need some help. So those compression stockings are going to help do that as well. What they're doing is they're squeezing, and they start squeezing around the base of your toes. They're going to maximally squeeze at the level of your ankle, and then they're basically going to continue to squeeze up to whatever level that your physician would designate. So we have knee-high stockings, we have thigh-high stockings, even all the way up to a full pantyhose. And basically they're trying to help augment or extra squeeze along with your muscles to kind of push that flow up and out of the vein. And that's basically what a compression stocking would do. And we have different types, but the idea with venous disease is you really want it to be a prescription-grade strength, because you can find these all over. A Walmart sometimes will sell them. You can get some from the hospital. But if they're not really prescription-grade strength, they're not going to offer the extra support that you need to push that fluid up and out of the vein. And that's the idea behind treating venous disease.
Well, Dr. Methodius, when should someone see a doctor about varicose veins?
That is based off of, number one, how bad are your legs really feeling? And also, what do you physically see when you look down at your legs? For some of us women, just physically seeing those varicose veins or that extra bluish discoloration that wasn't there before is enough to say, I don't like the way this looks. I want to wear my shorts or my skirt. And so that's the time to also go and see a physician. But otherwise, the symptoms we talked about from before, the tired, the achiness, the heaviness in the leg, the extra swelling, all of those are sure signs that you should probably go and seek out a physician's help for sure. Number one, if it's just for a cosmetic reason, there still may be an underlying component that needs to be addressed. And so that particular person should definitely seek out the physician to make sure that it's just, if it's a cosmetic reason, that can be addressed in one setting. But the person who's suffering from the symptoms definitely needs the addressing to make sure that it can be treated. And we have several different ways that we can treat it, which I know we're going to talk about here soon. So I'll leave that for the question when we get to it.
All right. Well, what happens when you see a vein doctor for the very first time?
So the first time you come in, we're going to do our initial evaluation. So that includes obviously checking to make sure you haven't had any comorbidities or what's potentially causing. Like we said before, there could be a couple of different things playing a role as to why you're being affected by this. So we want to address all of those factors. You'll still get your general physical exam. We don't just focus straight in on the legs. So we want to do a generalized history, find out what's happening, get your physical exam done. But then there is an assessment period that happens. So there'll be some lab testing, what we call in a vascular lab. So there's an ultrasound study that is done where we take a nice little probe, we go up and down the leg, and we're assessing the veins to find out what's happening on the inside of those veins. And we'll be looking for things like, do you have a blood clot? Is there any inflammation or irritation of the vein wall? What is actually happening to the valve inside of that vein that could be causing your varicose veins? That's how we determine what's the best way to give you a treatment. Once those studies are done, then we can determine, number one, do you just need what we call conservative treatment, which is generally leg elevation or compression? Or two, do you then become a candidate for our more specialized or semi-invasive treatments, which is where you've seen all the fancy commercials and billboards probably in your local area about having your leg treated, make your legs look pretty again. That's what we call it down here in the Atlanta area, make the legs look pretty again. So we'll talk about those in the next couple of minutes, I'm sure, because that's part of the treatments process for vein disease.
Well, what other kind of treatments do you offer for varicose veins?
So like we were saying before, conservative treatment for anybody, and first and foremost, regardless, is always limb elevation and compression therapy. And like we were saying before, compression therapy is prescribed compression hose. Now, for the elderly population, it's sometimes very difficult for them to get these compression stockings on. So there can be different ways to still get the compression that you need. We've got a variety of compression stockings now where they can use Velcro wraps to kind of help them get the compression grade that we need, but not have to pull a stocking up physically on the leg. They can just wrap some straps across and still get the same type of compression. There are occasional pumps where if there is a extra component to the swelling, it will help the patient still get the compression that they need, but it will also help by having the patient sit overnight and this pump is in place, and it will actually help push some of the fluid up and out of the leg. Now, when we get into what we call the specialized treatments, there are several different ways that are out there now. What I like to call our old tried and true method is what we call the venous ablation methods. So we have laser therapy treatment, which is where we take a high heat laser tip and we can kind of go in and ablate the vein wall, which is basically using a high heat laser. We cause a reaction on the inside of the vein wall and we seal what we call our greater saphenous vein. That's the main vein that's normally involved with most people's development of varicose veins. So if you seal this vein off, you're less likely to develop varicose veins in the future. It's kind of what we call the feeder vein. So if you seal that one, they're less likely to develop varicose veins in the future, and the physical appearance of the ones they already have generally decrease or almost fade away. And it does take some time. I want to be clear, this isn't an overnight treatment. You get this done and the next day they're gone. No, it takes several weeks, but it does physically decrease the appearance. Other things we're now doing and have proven to be just as effective is we can use a foam sort of what we like to call sclerotherapy form, but it does the same thing to this greater saphenous vein. That's what we call varicena, and it's just as effective. So our needle phobic patients, because the laser therapy form does require us to numb up the leg a little bit so you don't have any what we call irritation from the laser, sometimes does require us to numb the leg with some lidocaine. So patients who don't like a lot of needles, we can use this other form for. And also patients who had had their leg treated early on, we've gone through several rounds now of different ways to make the laser treatment better. And so patients who had this done early are now coming back because this vein had opened up again. So patients who need a second treatment or needed this done for a second time, this varicina form, or the foam form is what we like to call it, can have this option. And then we now have a new way to also treat this, which is what we like to call pharmomechanical. This new form basically uses the medication, but it also has a nice little irritant, what we call pin tip. I like to call it like a pin. It's going to go in and irritate the entire lining of the wall by kind of scratching the surface, but we're giving medication at the same time, and it causes a reaction that's going to seal the inside of the vein. So both of these options together cause the vein to seal down. So many different things keep coming out. All have proven to be pretty effective. So you just have to make sure you know what's going on and talk to your doctor about everything. Let them know what you're kind of interested in, and they'll discuss that with you.
Well, now, you may have already answered this question, but as a vascular surgeon, you know, do you have any more popular ways that you treat varicose veins for your patients, or did you already answer that question?
So for me as a vascular surgeon, the one extra thing that I get to offer, especially in my practice, is I am a registered physician in ultrasounds. So sometimes the ultrasound study that you have to have done gets sent out to a different lab, and then the reading on that would actually have to go back to the physician who's going to treat you. So I actually have the ultrasound lab attached right to my practice, so you don't have to go anywhere else to be have your studies done. I get to see it, I do the study, I read it, and then I can tell you pretty much immediately what needs to be done. In addition, for me, I'm also going to be looking at that initial evaluation. Do you have any other arterial disease? Because sometimes the symptoms that come along with vein disease can be masked by arterial problems, so circulation issues. And so we want to make sure we're not missing anything. Number one thing that we're always worried about when we put compression stockings on is, does somebody have very good circulation? Because we definitely don't want to put compression stockings on somebody who has poor circulation. So I'll also be looking and checking for that, and if I did find the problem, I can actually treat that at the same time versus having to refer you out to someone else. My practice also does good wound care, and so like we talked before, if you were in a situation where your vein disease has developed a wound or an ulcer, you wouldn't have to go anywhere else. We have a wound care clinic that is attached to my practice, and so we would be treating that wound for you as well. So we do the full scope of venous disease.
All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts today about varicose veins for our listening audience? And you may want to tell them how they can prevent varicose veins in the first place.
Well, like I said, this is kind of one of my favorite topics. I'm very passionate about it in our practice. The number one thing I would say for all of my females and anyone who does a occupation where you either stand or sit a lot, try to get some form of compression stocking. And the best way to do it is obviously seek your physician if you can to get a prescription-type stocking. Those generally work the best. But if you can't get in to see your physician, it is always good to even start with something that you can get over the counter. Wearing some form of compression just to help push that fluid up and out of the leg is the best way to get started. And then at any sign of any of the symptoms that we talked about today, seek out your physician, get that referral, or come on in and see a vein specialist or a vascular surgeon.
All right. Well, before we bring this interview to a close, please tell us, how has your experience been as one of the doctors who is currently featured on the front cover of our purpose-driven women issue of People You Need to Know magazine?
This entire experience has been amazing. I have had more and more experiences and encounters with people who I didn't even think were going to see me on this magazine cover with invitations to speak. I am so blessed and grateful, and continue to find new ways to touch lives. So I am elated and very grateful and humbled. So thank you so much, Sparkplug.
All right. And finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
So my office location is 1718 Peachtree Street, suite number 360. That's in Atlanta, Georgia. Our office phone number is 404-350-9505. And again, they just call me Dr. M or Dr. Methodius, and we're Georgia vascular specialists.
All right. Give out that contact information one more time, please.
1718 Peachtree Street, suite number 360. That's Atlanta, Georgia, 30339. And our office phone number is 404-350-9505. And I'm Dr. Methodius Rayford, or just call me Dr. M.
Well, Dr. M with Georgia Vascular Specialists, thanks for spending some of your most valuable and precious time with us today.
Thank you so much, Sparkplug.
All right. You've been listening to Sparkplug Radio. To listen to even more people you need to know, just Google Sparkplug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. If you'd like for me to speak at your conference, meeting, or your women's group, please email your request to sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer and my wife, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another exceptional job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Sparkplug, America's ambassador for women business owners, reminding you that you are the person who has to decide whether you'll do it or toss it aside. You are the person who makes up your mind. Whether you lead or linger behind, whether you try for a goal that is far or be content to stay where you are, take it or leave it, there's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you.